It's the end of the year. Thought for the end of the year, we seem a little tired. I mean, I am. Maybe I'm doing this for my sake. So, for the first time ever in church, I'm calling for a Chinese fire drill. If you don't know what a Chinese fire drill is, follow the crowd. Out of your row, around, back in your row. You got 1 minute. Go around the circle. Yeah, just real, not the whole church, just some of it. You leave your chair if you're able. Go around and come back in. It's kind of like you get out of a car and get on the other side. Move. Move. You don't got to go around the whole church, just your row, just your aisle, whatever's comfortable. Make sure you don't talk to people on the way around. That would be too nice. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for taking offering. Hey.
Crazy. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Okay. It's about time. I've seen Chinese go faster than that. Come on. Move it, move it. Come on, every minute now I'm adding on to the end of the service. Every minute now I'm putting on the end. All right. Hey, what's with this roll? Come on, guys. What? Man. Ay, 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 ay. Just trying to, you know, if every time we do something like this, have you stand up and say hi to people, you definitely are more loud and more awake and more up. So just when you think the songs put you to sleep, which they don't, you get to move again. All right, very, come on. What the world? Come on. All right. Joel, you're the last one seated. You lose. You are a loser. All right. All right. I like Joel. And even though it may not seem like it because I said that, he's one of the great KFJ leaders in there. And I really appreciate, like Bob said, all you guys that serve around here is phenomenal. I really appreciate that. I am thrilled to be here. I can't wait till I get up and talk sometimes on Sunday morning because I think I'm sitting there, I'm curious who's here. And if I turn around while we're singing and look at you, it makes you feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel like I'm looking at you. So when I get up to teach, it takes me a minute to focus on you. That's all right. And it's great to have you guys here. Thank you so much for making this the place that you come to learn and to serve God. Thank you. It's great to be here. Abby was talking about, I love the song, Be Thou My Vision. And I think this is an amazing time. We should be like thinking that all the rest of the year too. But this is an amazing time to really look at God specifically. God, I want, what is your vision for my life this year? What do you want me to do? And looking forward to the next couple of weeks and some of the things that are coming up. We're getting into another year. Next year, this coming up is 2019. And 2020 is going to be an interesting year because 2020 was always when I was a kid, when future things were going to happen. People be floating, you know, driving cars that fly through the air and everything. And we getting to know drivers anyway. That's close. Some people drive like that all the time anyway. But I'm not even going to talk about little old ladies that sit down under the steering wheel and you say, who is driving that car? There's nothing there anyway. But they manage somehow. But I'm not a big one for New Year's. I almost said New Year's revolutions, and that's what you just did. You did a New Year's revolution, actually. You didn't know it. For New Year's resolutions, I'm not a big one for that because it's really hard for me to get that kind of a grasp on my life and say, okay, now I'm changing. I'm going to do something completely different this year. But every once in a while, I need to stop and look at my life. And this is what I do at New Year's, and I think this is what a lot of people do, and just stop and look at your life. Is there any little adjustments you need to make? See, that doesn't sound as scary to me. Little adjustments. Okay, as far as, you know, New Year's resolutions are like, in my mind, they're like, okay, I'm going to stop being like this, and I'm going to start being like this. It's like a whole character change. I like to look at it like New Year's resolutions are just like a small adjustment I need to make the following kind of a year. It's a great time of year to do it because there's a natural break. You know, it's the calendar gives us a break. It starts a brand new year, 2019. Taxes, start again. You get to file your taxes and all that and support the government and all the amazing work that they're doing for us, the citizens, and for the world. And so you get your opportunity to participate in that. You get to work from January to April to pay your taxes. Isn't that awesome? And so it starts January 1st and all these really cool things start. But I think it's kind of a natural break. And so I like the small adjustments. I think small adjustments are better for us. And I think they're easier, and I kind of like the easy way, you know? I think small adjustments are much easier. Small changes over the course of a year, small changes over the course of a year can make a huge impact on the trajectory of my life, okay? And small changes can make a huge impact over my family and other people around me. Plus, the thing I like about small adjustments is they're doable, okay? Some big adjustments, my mind just goes, I got enough to do in my life and change this whole area. So small adjustments, I can handle. Small adjustments are kind of like an example of small, like if you say, my goal for this year is to lose 25 pounds, I'm thinking, ay, 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 that's going to take the entire year to do it, you know? It's like, that's ridiculous, you know? So what I would think is, well, I want to lose 5 pounds this year, and next year I want to lose 5 more pounds, and next year I want to use 5 more pounds, and in 5 years, I'll be at a doable place where I can do it, Or in a much better example, I think, is hunting. You men, before rifle season, you go out and you adjust your scopes, right? Because somehow they seem to get out of adjustment. But if you know, and not just men, a bunch of ladies know about this, but on a scope, you unscrew the little caps on a scope, you make adjustment, there's little clicks on there. Just click, click, click. I mean, they're just all over the thing. And one click equals 1/4 inch. At 100 yards, okay? You know this. And so 1/4 inch at 100 yards, I mean, that's like that much. I'm going to get a deer anyway, you know? It's no big deal. But 1/4 inch at 100 yards, but if you sighted 1/4 inch at 100 yards, is almost 3 inches at a mile, okay? The trajectory of that bullet, instead of just going 1/4 inch here, it doesn't seem like much, but over the length of over a couple hundred more yards, it's a 3-inch period, and over, 2 miles is 6 inches, and after a while, it's a huge thing. And that's the way I kind of look at my life. I like those wee little, I want to do one click at a time. I want to look at my life and say, is there anything in my life that I need to change? Is there something I need to work on? And if I ask Vicki and she gives me 18 different things, I'm like overwhelmed, okay? But if she gives me one little thing, or if God gives me one little thing that I need to work on, one click, I can do that. And I can work in that one click all year, and by the end of that year, I will be going in a little bit better direction, a little straighter direction than where God wants me. And the next year is a click, and the next year is a click, and the next year is a click. And after a while, the whole trajectory of my life and how I treat people and people around me and my family is changed by teeny little adjustments. Now, maybe you can do big adjustments. And I have done big adjustments once in a while in my life where there are major things to do. But this time of the year, I don't do resolutions, if you call it that, because that overwhelms my mind. I do little clicks, just small adjustments. I think this works physically in our world. It works for me way better than great big things. And I think it works spiritually in our lives too. I think there's a big thing about making small adjustments spiritually in our lives. Instead of saying, well, this year, I loved Wes's testimony. This year, I want to become a man of God. How do you do that? You know? How do you become a man of God this year, you know? I'm going to make a New Year's resolution that next year I'm going to be a man of God. Wow, that's a big thing. Now, I'm not saying some of you guys aren't men of God or women of God. Well, obviously, if you're a woman, you don't want to say, I want to become a man of God, you know? You might want to become a woman of God, okay? So that's a little bit better off. But how do we do that? That's a hard thing. If this year I would say, I want to just take one thing in my life that makes me more of a man of God. And work on that until I have it down, until it becomes a habit. And the next year, I want to do something that makes me a little bit more of a man of God, a little bit more of a woman of God. The next year, just one more thing. So I keep adding spiritual disciplines on one at a time. And all of a sudden, 5 years from now, I look back and say, wow, I feel so much closer to God. My wife says, you're much more of a man of God than you used to be. You're much more of a woman of God than you used to be. And all of a sudden, it changed the course of my life till I find myself becoming more and more and more a man of God or a woman of God. But see, I can do it in little clicks. I can't do it. It's so hard in great big things. So what I'm really looking at today is there a little click? Is there a little adjustment that you might need to make this year? And I think that is a really good way to look at things, because I think any of us can make one small adjustment, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are. But as your pastor, and I just want you to know, I am so thankful to be your pastor. Thank you for letting me do this. Thank you for just, you are an awesome church. I just really love it here, and I feel honored that you guys, some of you guys call me Pastor Bob, and the rest of you guys don't. You just call me, hey, you know. But you do it with respect, so that's okay. I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. I just feel really privileged to do that. But as your pastor, I see, I'm looking at the spiritual growth areas of your life. I'm not sure what you have to do personally, okay? I'm not going to comment on your weight or anything. You need to eat more or something. But your spiritual life, that's what I'm concerned about. I look at your spiritual life, and I see this, that one major growth factor in what I hear in our church. Now, our church, if I ever hear a complaint, it's very, very rare. Isn't that awesome to say in church? Hardly anybody ever complains about anything in here. I am so proud of you guys for that. You make it so easy. For me, it's just awesome. And I know it's hard to complain about, you know, stuff that's perfect. But anyway, just kidding. But if I ever hear any complaint, if you could put it in the complaint area, it's that some people say, I don't really feel connected to the church. I don't really feel connected to God. I feel like, you know, when I come to church, I come and it's all right, but I don't really feel like I connect there. And I don't really feel like I connect to God. Like when I pray, my prayers only go up to the ceiling, you know, it doesn't feel like they go any farther than that. We've all been there. I just don't feel like me and God have this connection at this stage in my life. And if I ever hear any complaints, literally, Vicki and I both, that's what we hear people saying. It's not really in the form of a complaint. I'm just calling it that. But I don't feel connected. So an area that I think it would be really good to work on in spiritually is, how do I connect to God? How do I connect to the church? Feeling spiritually connected, I think, comes in two areas. And one of the areas that's feeling spiritually connected to is feeling, I don't feel connected to the church and God's people, okay? To the church, the Pine Grove Community Church, or to other God's people. I don't really feel connected there. And the other one is, I don't feel connected to God. So I'd like to take a look at those two areas this morning. I got a lot to go over, two major passages in the scripture and familiar passages, and I'm not going to teach them thoroughly. I'm just going to pull this idea of being connected out of it. And the first one, if you turn to, is John 15, 1-5. And if you don't have your Bible, like I say, it'll be up here. Also, I did another thing here. Remember a couple of months or so, we got done going over a peace with God, how to share your faith with people. And I didn't have a whole lot of these steps of peace with God booklets. And I got a bunch more in. So if you need any of these, you want to use them, they're not just to lay in bathrooms. Please don't go to Warner's and lay them in the bathroom, because Millie has to go in there and clean them up and pick them up. But use them personally, okay? Use them personally. And I got one in my wallet. I was thinking about that this morning. I haven't used it for like 3 weeks. It's getting old and stale and musty. But, you know, please use them. So pick them up. And anytime you need any more of them, use them to share your faith with Jesus Christ, like Wes was talking about. Just an amazing thing. But I want to look at this passage, John 15, 1-5. Jesus is speaking, literally, he's speaking to his disciples. Now, at this point, he had like 250. He had a whole bunch of disciples following him, not just the 12 we know about. And he says this to them. He says, and you, this is familiar, I'm the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, what is fruit? When the Bible talks about fruit, what is fruit? The fruit of the Spirit, we've been going over in KFJ. But what is fruit? When the Bible talks about fruit, someone, give me some, you're allowed to talk. What is love? Okay, that's a fruit. But what is fruit? What's that? Something you produce. Yeah, it's something you do. It's the things in Ephesians 2, 10. God says, I created you for good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Fruit is what God has for you as a believer. Not like, oh, I'm really good at guitar, now I'll get saved and God will use my guitar. No, I mean, he may use that, but it's things that are there because of God's love in you, because of Christ in you. It produces the ability to serve God, to use your giftings to in the realm of the church or the world as far as bringing people to Christ. It's the things that God produces in your life. They're things you do because of Christ in you. Not you just do because you're talented, but you do because of Christ in you. And so God says, I'm the true vine, the Father's a gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. So if you're producing fruit, don't think, oh, life is going to go fine now. God prunes it, if you're a gardener, so it produces more fruit. So things don't always go perfectly for me. But the thing that it says here is he cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. God has something for every single believer in Jesus Christ to do. Listen to this next sentence. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. He's speaking to Christ followers. He's speaking to Christians when he says this, to Christ followers when he said this. And I always kind of read this as he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. Okay, he says, remain in me, I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God requires us to bear fruit. He gave us the ability to bear fruit. He wants us to bear fruit, his believers. And if not, it says, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he will cut off the vine. The vine is the connection we have to God, that the sap, the where we get fed comes up through that vine, up through the vine, into the branches. It produces fruit, and a branch was made to produce fruit. If the branch doesn't produce leaves or some kind of fruit, what's the point of leaving it on your tree? If it doesn't produce leaves, it dies. It gets brittle, it breaks off, and it drops in your yard. God says, you were created for fruit, to bear fruit. I don't know what the fruit is that God has you to bear. This is why some of the connection to God is so important, to be able to say, God, here I am. We go up to verse 6. If you do not, listen to this, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. I used to take that as, if you don't produce fruit, God's going to say, okay, you can't be a Christian anymore, and I'm going to throw you into the fire, which represented the lake of fire, hell, and you're finished. Well, that's not what this says. It says, if you don't produce fruit, he's talking to believers, and God's never going to kick you out of his family. Oh, you're not like the perfect Christian, so you got to go to hell and you're going to lose it. God will never leave us and never forsake us, okay? But he says, if you don't produce fruit, what's it say? You are, what's the next word? Like a branch. Now, if you have a branch in a tree in your front yard and it stops bearing fruit and the leaves all wither up, what's going to happen? It's going to get brittle. It's going to dry up. The woodpecker's going to come and peck holes in it and get bugs in it, and it's going to eventually drop off and lay in the yard. What do you do with that? Now, if you're young, you're going to pick it up. It's an amazing sword to hit your sister with. Okay? I don't see anybody here that would take me serious on that. All right? I would never have done something like that. Or to hit your brother with, you know, to have a sword fight with. But after it's done the sword fight, it breaks, it lays on the yard, and what do? You pick it up and throw it away. It's kind of a useless branch after a while. God says if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you do not bear fruit, you will be like a useless branch. That like a branch that falls off, it's like you're going to be useless. And when you are useless, when you are not doing what God created you to do, you're not producing fruit, you're not producing leaves, it's going to be like, wow, I feel like my prayers only get this high. I don't feel real connected to God, you know? I feel like I used to know God, and now he's real far away. And maybe it's because we didn't stay connected. And we have this feeling like, I don't feel real connected to God. I don't feel real connected to his church. I don't feel real, you know, I don't, you know, everybody has gifts. I'm just, you know, I'm being a Christian, but it's not really what it used to be or what I thought it was going to be, you know? It's kind of like we feel like a useless branch that just dried up and fell down in there, and it's picked up and thrown into the fire. It's dead. It's dying. It's not what you were intended for. A branch was made to stay connected to the vine. But God uses the word, and the next verse is in verse 7. He uses the words remain in me. Now, what does remain in me mean? Remain in me. And that's what we really want to look at. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you.
This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. The words remain in me is like a branch that stays connected to the tree and the juices flow up into that branch. We are called to remain in God. And he says, remain in me. And what's he say then next? And my words remain in you. Understand that God's words are what makes us remain in him. When we're called remain in him, know my words. Study my words. Be connected to my words. Because God's word flows up. And the words that Jesus Christ speaks and the word of God is what sustains us, what causes us to grow, what causes us to produce fruit. If we disconnect from that vine, if we disconnect from the words of God and do not fill ourselves with the words of God, our life is going to go, until it's like, why go to church? Why do this? And I dropped out a long time ago. Why start again? And see, that's the problem with a lot of people that go to college, a lot of students that go to college. We just disconnect from God's word, and all of a sudden, we don't go to church anymore. And we come home, and we might visit, or we go to the military, and a lot of Christ followers don't stay connected to God's word in the military. Is it possible? I've never been in the military, but yeah, I think it's always possible to stay connected to God's word. And then we wonder why Christianity is boring and why we're not excited anymore and some of the things that the Bible talks about here. We stop coming to church. I've seen this how many times? If you saw someone get so wrapped up in other things, they don't have time for church, and they mean to come, and they don't come, and then they don't come, and after a while they say, we haven't been to church for a while, but it's too late to go back, and we don't feel like it anyway. See, that's the withering of that branch when we're disconnected from the Word of God. Church is not the only place we can be connected to the Word of God. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you remain connected to Him, and his life-giving words remain flowing into you, you will flourish. That's just what God says. And go to 10 and 11 of John 15, 10 and 11. If you keep my commands. Now, what does it mean to keep God's commands? Keep God's commands means what? There's a really cool word. Starts with an O and ends with a bay. Right, good job. You guys are quick. If you obey my words, if you obey my words, you will remain in me. If you keep my commands or do my words, you'll remain in me. You will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this. This is awesome. So my joy may be in you and that your joy will be complete. It's not possible to be complete and not being connected to the vine. It is not possible to feel fruitful. I'm not talking about pregnant. It is not possible to feel fruitful and not be connected to the words of God. That is the lifeline. That's what connects us to God. And so many people, I don't feel connected. Well, there is an interesting insight into maybe why we don't feel connected. And you know what? Some people come to church every Sunday, and still say, I don't feel connected. Well, I think it goes deeper than just coming to church. Take what you learn, take what God's spoken to you here in your quiet time, go home, have quiet time, allow God's words to come into your life, and then live them. That's what he says. It says, if you keep my commands, not just hear them in church, if you do my commands, you'll remain in my love. And if we stay connected to the vine, it's so cool. God promises, if we stay connected to that vine. Now, some people are going to, I went to church once, I went to Bible study once, and it wasn't very interesting. Was it the words of God? Then it is important to stay connected to those things and be fed on a regular basis. And if you do, my joy will be in you. How else is God's joy going to get into you unless you're connected to him, unless the words, the life-giving words of God flow through you? My joy will be in you, and your joy, which you want, will be complete. That's an interesting thing. Our joy as believers in Christ. And Wes shared it with his testimony. He went through his first 6 months out of high school just feeling lost and pursuing all the stuff that he wanted to do, but it was different than what it is now. When we're connected to God's word, it flows through us, and his joy will be in us, and our joy will complete. So that passage talks about six different things. No fruit, it gets cut off. As a believer, if you do not produce fruit, you're just going to wither and be this dead branch there. And God's going to say, why leave that on the tree? Why leave that there? Let's just break it off, throw it into the fire, and it's going to be burned. Okay, so no fruit, it gets cut off. If you do produce fruit, see, if you do produce fruit, God's going to prune you, okay? Because God is interested you produce awesome fruit. Because people in Pine Grove need a church with awesome fruit. Not really cool people and well-dressed people. Not really cool pastors and really cool youth leaders, although we definitely have both of them. I'm sorry. If you're a visitor here today, I'm not near as prideful as I sound. The Word of God is truth. God's going to prune us to be more fruitful. Another thing, branches must remain in God. They need to stay connected. Another thing is, my words remain in you. He calls us to have His words flowing through me, not just into me and flowing through me and then out of me. I mean, through me, and it produces fruit. We need to keep God's commands is what remaining is love in. Hear His words, keep them. And the last one is then our joy will be complete. That's it. So staying connected is literally feeding from the vine. It's literally feeding on the words of God. Now, this is getting ahead of myself, but who is the Word of God? John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word feeding on the Word of God, literally on the words of Jesus. If we continually feed, regularly feed on the Word of God, we're connected to the vine. We're feeding from the vine. Now, what does feeding from the vine look like? This is interesting. Feeding from the vine looks like, and it brings us to one, over this, first of all, I said Lenten season. This wasn't Lent. Over the Advent season, okay? Over the Advent season, we've been going through the four Sundays. Now, today we're on the fifth Sunday of Advent, okay? Anybody from the Advent tradition knows what the fifth Sunday of Advent is? Come on, weren't you listening? There is no fifth Sunday of Advent, okay? So I made one up because I wanted another one. We've been looking at the way the Bible refers to Jesus Christ, names that He calls Himself. We've been looking at the names of Christ all through the hope and all that kind of stuff. And so what I want to look at, and this brings us right to it, this brings us to one of the major names that Jesus calls Himself and the Bible refers to Him, John 6, 25 to 27. Jesus calls Himself the bread of life, the bread of life. Okay, the bread of life. As we eat that bread, okay, it brings life into our body. So it's well tied in with staying connected to the words of God. We're eating the words of God. And some people misunderstood it. We'll get to it. And John 6, 25 to 27, I'm going to skip that because I don't want to spend time on that. They're just people looking for Jesus, and they're looking for Him because they're hungry. You know, and they were the 4,000 that got fed. They went to the other side of the lake, and they all met Him there and said, hey, give us some more food. It's really cool. And Jesus said, listen, the food you're looking for, you're looking for the wrong kind of food. You're talking about physical food, but I'm here about spiritual food, okay? I'm here about the bread of life. John. So let's go to verse 28, John 6, 28 to 31. Then they asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this. Now listen to His answer. This is a very short answer of what the work of God is. These people are looking to do the works of God. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe the one He has sent. Who did God send into the world? Kind of right. Who was Jesus? God. God Himself came into the world. A way that we could see Him and relate to Him, Jesus, He came into the world. God Himself came into the world. And He says, the work that God requires, okay, what must we do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe the one He has sent. So He says, you want to know what the work that I have for you is to believe God. Believe God and His words. Jesus is God. Anything He says, believe God. Now, I feel like answering you this question and having you raise your hand, but I'm not going to. Does anybody here think God is a liar? Don't raise your hand. If you raise your hand, you'd be pretty gutsy, which would be okay. But none of us, most of us, would never say God is a liar. Is there anything God ever says through Jesus, through the Word of God? Is there anything God ever says that's not true? Is there? No. Nothing. Everything He says is right. Everything He says is perfect. Everything He says is true. And the Bible is full of God's Word.
It's true. We would never say he was a liar. But yet he says, the work God sent you to do is believe me. Now, a lot of us would believe in Jesus. We believe in him for our salvation, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. We believe in Jesus. But do you, as a Christ follower, believe Jesus? Do you believe? Now, that's a tough question, because if we were really to be honest, we'd probably say, well, I believe in him, but do I believe everything he says? And how would we be able to tell if you believed everything Jesus says? By whether you lived it and by whether you obeyed it. Now, there gets to be the hard thing, because if Jesus says something and we don't live it and we don't believe it, maybe that's pointing to the fact that we don't really believe him. Because why wouldn't we do what he says if it's all true? Why wouldn't we honor him if he's God? So it says, the work of God is this, to believe the one who sent me. So they ask him, what sign will you give us that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as written, he gave them bread from heaven. And then we get to verse 32. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, or very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you this bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. He gave Jesus the true bread for heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Who's he talking about? Himself. I am the bread of life, he says. And everything I say is true. I came to give life. Bread that comes down from heaven gives life to the world. Jesus said, I am what gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Surely replied, always give us this bread. And then John 6:35, this is what we understand. This is what we know or we memorize. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the true, honest bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is just a statement. If you feed on my words, if you stay connected to me and feed on my words, you will never be hungry, because my words are what sustains life. My words, being connected to my words, flowing through you out in the form of fruit, you will never be disappointed. My joy will be in you. Your joy will be complete. You will never be thirsty. And then he says, but as I told you, you have seen me and still you don't believe. We go over the bread of life every Sunday. When you read the Word of God, it is truth written and spoken. As much as I can speak the truth, as much as I can share the Word of God, I don't want to get messed up into my thinking and my beliefs. That's why we present the Word of God, because it is truth. It is life-giving, and my words hopefully just help it be a little more understandable. But the Bible says, you've seen the bread, here I am, but as I told you, you have seen and still don't believe. You're still looking for physical food, for proof, for signs and wonders. But I'm asking for you to believe my words. And Jesus is asking, will you believe my words? My words are truth. Will you believe my words? And if you do, you will stay connected. My joy will be in you, and you will produce fruit, and your prayers will go higher than the heavens. And then we get to verse 47. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. And he talks about their ancestors eating it in the wilderness and stuff. And then he says, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then they're starting to think, this bread is your flesh? Come on. And then they spend the whole next John 6, 53 to 58, saying, Jesus is saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. And people are saying, eat your flesh and drink your blood. They just didn't get it. If he is the Word of God, he is telling them, eat my words. Ingest my words. Let my words come in and nourish you. Let it flourish you. Let it come out in fruit. And drink my blood. Not just like drink my blood, but ingest my whole life. Everything I am, the true bread of heaven. If you eat from my words and drink from my words, you will never be thirsty. My joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. But the problem is, not all Christ followers believe God's words to be fully true. And he says at the end of that verse, the one who feeds on me will live. And the one who feeds on this bread will live forever.
fully be engulfed in my words, fully trust and obey me. Make my words part of you and of your life. And on hearing it, John 6:60, on hearing it, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Okay? Now, they were caught up in eating my flesh and, you know, that. They missed what he was saying. This is a hard teaching. When we get to some points where the Holy Spirit speaks, and it speaks to your heart, and sometimes he uses me to speak, and we say, this is what the Bible says, are you willing to live that? A lot of people in my church, I see, sit there and squirm, and they say, ooh, that's a hard teaching. I don't know if I can live that one. I don't know if I can fully, I know God's word are true. But I don't know if I believe that one. And then all of a sudden, Christ followers and churches started picking and choosing what they believe that Jesus said and what they don't really believe that Jesus said and what they want to obey what he said and what they don't want to obey. And see, that's where we start to disconnect from the vine. That's when we say, well, I want this part of God, but I don't want this part of God. And so we put a little noose around that limb and tighten the wire tighter, and that his words have trouble getting in and getting in. We want some of the good stuff. We want all the stuff. And after a while, that limb stops flourishing and starts fading, starts breaking off, and it's useless to God anymore, because God wants us to have fruits because he cares about this world that's lost. And he wants amazingly wonderful, nice Christian people to speak to amazingly wonderful, nice worldly people who are lost but don't know they're lost. But a limb that's died, that's not connected to God, is not good for anything anymore. And so it's like a useless limb. And he says, I'll find someone else. So people say, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And see, that's why people are fudging with the gospel anymore. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept this? Aware his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to him, does this offend you? And a lot of Christ followers say, yeah, that offends me. I'm going to say some things a little bit later on that are going to offend some of you guys in here. And I'm sorry. I blame God. But then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Listen to what he said. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. I love this. The words I've spoken to you are full of the Spirit and of life. Yet, there are some of you who do not believe. And that's what is interesting. And this is where I'm talking little adjustments to your life. If we realize that all of God's word are true, if we say we believe in God, then shouldn't we then believe everything he says? Shouldn't we take everything he says and say, if that's what God says, that's what I'm going to do? So what I'm asking you is this morning, just one little thing that you have trouble believing. This year, one little thing you have trouble believing, do one little click, a quarter of an inch of adjustment, and say, I'm going to start believing those words. I'm going to start obeying that word. I may not fully understand it, but I claim that God is truthful, so I have to believe him. And that's what he says here. These words I've spoken to you, they're full of the Spirit and of life. They're like, why wouldn't you do it? They're full of the Spirit. They're full of life. Yet some of you who don't believe. Now, let me just, I come up with a few things that I see and hear from my life and other people's life, that we say we believe in God, but we don't fully, not really. And one of the things is, and here, let me say this, make church a priority. We all know the Bible, without a doubt, calls us to make church a priority, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together for encouragement and building other up. Make church a priority. Now, first thing I want you to, here's why I'm putting this one in there, because I don't really want more people in church. Okay, we don't want any more people in this church, right? So I'm saying this so some of you will actually leave, okay? That's not true. We don't need any more people in this church. I want the whole entire Pine Grove in this church, and Lebanon and Berks, but, you know, they're beyond hope. But I'm sorry. Make church a priority. And we know that. But yet, if there's a sports game on that Sunday, what is our priority? You know what I mean? We say we believe in God, but yet if there's sports the whole entire season on Sundays, we just take all Sundays off, because the more important thing would be what we did, right? See, I said I'm going to get a little offensive to some people in here. And I think there's ways to get around that, and you can ask my ideas later on. I think there's all kinds of ways to get around that. But we say church is a priority. We say knowing God is a priority. But yet we don't send our kids to youth group. We don't make them go. because they might not want to. And we don't really go, and we don't do these kind of things. It's like, if church is a priority, what does the word priority mean? And see, I'm not trying to guilt anybody into coming to church more. That's not what I'm saying, honestly. I'm just looking at the Word of God, and these are some of the things God has convicted me about over the last couple of years. How about this? Well, this might be easier for you. It's more fun, obviously. Sex outside of marriage. Okay? Sex. We all know the Bible says sex outside of marriage is wrong. But how many people are doing it? And how many couples am I counseling that are having sex before they get married? Because the world's doing it. But yet God is our priorities and always ways are right and always things are just. But what are we doing? We're living something opposite of that, which means we're saying, God, you're a liar. I don't believe you. Or you might be telling the truth, but I don't want to follow you. How can that branch produce fruit? When the words of God aren't flowing through us, they're just coming in and we're saying, I don't really care about it. And out it goes. How about, oh, man, you knew I was going to say this one. I'm so sorry to say this one. How about tithing? Okay, now, I don't need your money, okay? This church is so well-funded, it's ridiculous, okay? You guys are so awesome in the way you're funding what this church does. And you know, the thousands, some of last year, $150,000 we sent out to missions. And then there's benevolence on top of that and all that kind of stuff. You guys are funding us perfectly. That's why we say, unless you're really committed, don't put money in the offering because you have to. But what about tithing? What does God say about tithing? If you don't tithe, you're robbing me. And how many people in the church tithe? Don't put your hand up, because there'd be very few of you that put your hand up. So we have to say, well, God, I know everything you say is true, but this one I don't agree with. And who are we making the God of our life? We say we believe in God, but yet we doubt his word and we do not apply it to our lives because, God, you didn't see my check. God said, well, it applies to everybody but you. You know, I kind of didn't mean everybody when I said everybody. I just meant the pastor. And I just meant some of the people. And you know what? Just because some of us are doing good in that area, that doesn't let us off the hook. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to give examples of areas where we say we believe in God, but really do our actions show it? What do our actions say? We believe you're lying, God. We don't believe you're telling the truth. And see, we stop God flowing through us. And please, honestly, believe me, that's not because we don't want more money. It just, you know that. How about drunkenness? Drunkenness, we live in a liberal society and a liberal church society and stuff too, that we can just say it's not a big deal and yeah, I get drunk once in a while, big deal, but God said it's wrong. Do not be filled with alcohol or wine or before that. Drunkenness is listed in the area of sins the same as gossip, which takes us to a whole other area. How many of us really work on that? And how many of us really, see, we say we believe in God, but do we really? How about this? Do you love your wife as Jesus loved the church, man? Well, he never met my wife. Yes, he did. He created her just for you. Do you love her the same way Christ loved the church and gave up his life and gave up his way for her? Doesn't let you women off the hook. You know what's coming next, right? Wives, submit to your husbands in everything, for this is God's will. Now, don't get submit. Doesn't mean you're a little nothing, okay? But submit to your husband as Christ submitted to the church. Well, he didn't know my husband. He knit him together in his mother's womb. He knows your husband. And he calls you to submit and to love and to submit to one another. But, well, there's extenuating circumstances. And so we go to God and say, I really can't submit. And God says, that's right. You really can't. I'm sorry. I meant that for everybody else. He meant it for us. It's just, see, when it really gets down to it, I don't mean to pick on us and be nasty to us, but from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You know what? Sometimes when church gets too hard and the Word of God, and that's why a lot of churches go soft on it, when the Word of God gets too hard, like this morning's message, people say, man, they expect me to be perfect. I'm going back there again. And you know what? That just shows that the Word of God isn't flowing through you. You're just a branch that's starting to wither. And all I'm saying is, man, connect to God. Find out what you can do to connect to God. He looked to his other 12 disciples that didn't leave. He said, you guys want to leave me too? And Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. You have come to believe and know that you are a son of God. You know what? If you believe that Jesus is the holy Son of God, then why not connect to everything he says? Why not honestly obey it? Why not do what God asks you to do? There's two ways, finishing up, there's two ways to connect. There's two ways that I'm talking about connecting this morning. One is connecting to the church. Do more than just come on Sunday, okay? Most everybody that feels not connected to church comes Sunday morning and sits here and listens well, responds well, and just looks at me and smiles, and I really appreciate that. I love it. But that's gets you here on Sunday morning. That's you're hearing the words of God. But hearing the words of God isn't what connecting is. Connecting is allowing them to change your life and obey them. Not just hearing them. Hearing them doesn't connect you to a church. Man, we have so much stuff here. There's the church, there's Bible study, women's groups, ministry teams, service teams, missions trip, prayer breakfast, work days, all kinds of stuff. Youth group, the whole kind of things. There's all kinds of ways to connect to a church. Do something more than just come on Sundays. You know what? Okay, let me put it in. Okay, if you were on a sports team, love sport, played sports through a lot of my junior high, but you love sports, you're on a sports team, okay? And you get the letter of, don't you love that letter when all the practices and all the game times come? And you got, oh man. Well, I tell you what, if you want to be connected to God, if God is a priority to your life, forget that. If you're connected to the sports team, if the sports team is what you want to do, and the sports team comes and you're saying, I want to be on that sports team, you join the team, and it's like, I don't feel like going to all the practices. I don't feel like going to all the games. I think I'm going to show up on the sports team. I'm going to show up for practice once a week. Would you be connected to that sports team? If you only showed up for practice once a week, no, they would disconnect you from that sports team, okay? Because you wouldn't be practicing. You wouldn't be part of the team. And some people come to church once a week. Now, why does that work for sports and not for church? If church is where we connect to God, why doesn't that work for church? Why is the church that's always left out? Why is it the church that it's okay to attend once a week? What about the sports team? What if you say, I'm only going to go play sports. I'm only going to go to practice when I feel like it. I woke up this morning, I don't really feel like going to practice. I'm not going to go to practice, okay? Do you know how long you'd be part of that team or the band or whatever else like that? All right, what if you joined a gym because your New Year's revolution was, I'm going to join a gym, I'm going to lose weight, okay? I'm going to get in shape. Anybody here, you can, if you're like a sports guy, answer this question. If you showed up at the gym once a week, would it work? Would you be in shape then because you showed up at the gym once a week? No. Why does it work for the gym and not for the church? I'm just saying. I'm not trying to make us feel guilty. I'm just saying maybe we need a little bit of a priority adjustment, a little bit of a connection adjustment. Oh, we'll be connected to the world and the team and the sports and all this kind of stuff. But when are we connecting with God? Once a week. Is that going to work out? It may work out for a time or two, and I'm not saying be here every time. I'm just saying, if you're not connected to the church or to God's people, maybe it's because you're only here once a week. And I'm so glad you are. Please don't think I'm being nasty. So two ways to connect, one to the church and the other one to God. You want to be connected to God, you got to connect more than once a week. You got to read the words, the bread of life in your quiet time. You got to not leave him out of your life. You need to get to church. You need to get to some of the Bible studies here and there. Not just say, I was the Bible study once and it wasn't very interesting, so I'm not coming anymore. Did you ever have a meal that wasn't very interesting? You still eat, right? We know we need it. I think we don't think we need to know the words of God. We don't need to apply it to our life. I've been there. I still am there sometimes. I just am terrible at this kind of stuff. But we are called to feed on the bread of life. It's the bread of life for a reason, because without it we will wither spiritually and die spiritually and be useless spiritually. And if you want to be used by God, have the joy of God flowing in and through you, then we need to be connected with his word. Witness to people. Use the steps of peace with God. Get embarrassed. Visit a nursing home regularly. We have someone from our church that did that for the last couple months. Regularly visited her, got to know the people, to share Christ. That's how he connected. Quiet time, prayer. Put into practice what you learn about God. Do things, truly believe God's word. I have a guy that came, and Dale sets up chairs every Sunday. This year, some people are coming to help him. I had one guy that came to help Dale. He comes and helps Dale set up all these chairs in the auditorium. And he talked to me 2 weeks ago, and he said, Bob, ever since I've been a Christian, I never felt like I connected anywhere. But now that I'm setting up chairs, it is such a great thing to serve God. I love it. He's setting up some stinking chairs. But he's serving God. The fruits of what God's done in his life since he's been here are coming out and setting up the chairs that you're parked on. Isn't that awesome? And he feels connected to God because he comes once a week and sets up chairs. I think that's awesome. And we have a lot of people like that. Connecting to God comes in all kinds of different ways. It's just a notch, an increment, a quarter of an inch click to say, I'm going to add this to my life. I'm missing something. What is it? And allow God to speak to you now. My priorities are messed up. Something isn't right. God, what is it? I'm not saying become perfect and make up for all your... You're not doing it to make up for anything. You're just saying, I've been going this direction, and I'd like to go this direction. And then the next year, I'll be that direction. The next year, I'll be that direction. The next year, I'll be that direction. And all of a sudden, I'll be a man or a woman of God. Not because I'm perfect and not because I'm doing stuff, but because I just feel like I've been feeding on the Word of God, and it's not just staying there, it's coming out. So what I'm asking you this morning is just the simple things. Believe God. Don't go by all my examples, because they offend people wrongly and do all kinds of stuff, or maybe they offend. You know, if any of my examples offended you, I want you to know I'm not sorry for it, because they're God's Word, okay? Get mad at God, okay? And you know, deal with Him. But I don't want to offend us unnecessarily, but I think we need to, more and more, I need to believe everything God says. Not just believe in Him so I stay out of hell. Believe everything He says. And so if God spoke to you this morning or in your mind about anything, one little thing, say, God, I believe. Click. And all of a sudden the trajectory of your life and your family's life and everybody that comes after you is changed because of that one click on the direction of your life. So you have the amazing ability this morning to move in a slightly another direction. Now, if you feel like I just got to turn around and go that way, that's okay too. But boy, that's hard. But one click. What's the click that God's asking you to do this morning? What's the one thing that you don't believe? You haven't been practicing belief in God, although you say you believe in Him, but you haven't been, not really. What is that one thing? Listen, Jeremiah 29, 13 to 14 says it, what I'm trying to get at this morning in a really cool, simple way. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14 says, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. I think that's a great verse, declares the Lord. When you seek me, God, I want to be like you. I want to feed on your words and eat on your words. I want to believe everything you say. Now, that's going to be your goal. You're going to have trouble getting there in 1 year, okay? I want to believe everything you say. When you seek me and find, when you will seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart. You know what seeking God with all your heart is believing what he says and enacting it. That's believing in God. That's believing God, not just believing in him. When we seek him with all our heart, I will be found by God, declares the Lord. So this year, I don't know what area. Don't go by an area I said. I'm just trying to guess at like areas that I always talk about, all right? But what is, if I know, apply, but what is it that God's speaking to you about? The click that God would like in your life this year. What is that one click? I think we can handle that. I know if I can handle one click, and even one click's really hard. Sometimes I want to rest right in the middle of that click. You know, one click. What is it that God would be speaking to you about this morning? That would be the thing that I would say, God, I'm going to do that this year. With all my heart, I want to seek you and find you. So what is that one click? Close your eyes and think about that for a minute, please. And you know what? If you don't have a click right now, you don't have to come up with one. I'm not talking about the people you hang out with, but what is that? What is that? Ask God, you know, over this year, over the next couple days, is there something that you want me to do. But don't just ask him and stay away from his words. Eat his words in the meantime. Spend time praying to God. Spend time with him in communication with God. Spend time in his word and say, God, I can't think of that one little click right now, but what is it? Because obviously, God, I can't be perfect. So what is that one little click this year? That one little change that will bring me closer to you. If you know it right now, deal with it right now. If you don't know it, please, don't just walk out and forget about it, because then you're going to remain the same. And who wants to remain the same? It might be easier that way, but it's not best. God, please speak to us this morning. I know a lot of us don't like to change. We like the way we are, but God, you have called us to produce fruit. And some people here are producing fruit. That's awesome. And you just say, okay, now I'm going to prune you. And this one little click is part of that pruning process. Now here's something we can add on to it. Here's something we can do better. My kingdom needs you to be more fruitful. And then there's some of us that are saying, but God, I have so many clicks. I can't think of anything. What can I do? God, speak to them. I pray that this year they might be a little more like you than they were last year. And in 5 years, they'll look back and say, man, have I grown? That is awesome. Please work in my life and our lives to make us more like you as we feed on your word. And Lord, not one Sunday morning a week is just listening to truth, but apply it to our life. Make it part of our life. Help us to take it home and use it. God, I want to be part of a church that just keeps growing in their relationship with you, becoming more and more like you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. Thank you. You're so gentle on us. But Lord, I don't want to be cut off that vine. I don't want to become useless. Use me this year. Use us this year. In Jesus' name, amen.